The world is like a ride at an amusement park. And when you choose to go on it, you think it's real because that's how powerful our minds are.
I can tell you from experience, the effect you have on others is the most valuable currency there is.
Don't think. Feel. It is like a finger pointing away to the moon. Don't concentrate on the finger or you will miss all that heavenly glory.
You take the red pill, you stay in Wonderland, and I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
Okay, so today I was at an audition for a nameless cookware company, and it was a print audition, and they had this table set up with a bunch of fake props, like little fake corn on the cob and fake broccolis, like little plastic ones, right? And I had the cookware, and they're like, okay, now, you know, go ahead and pretend to be making a dish. And I was like, okay, you know, and I cook every single day, twice a day. So this is something that I do, but it's not very theatrical. It's very precise. And it's, you know, I heard people going in before me and there's like stuff flying around. Like apparently they think that cooking for the camera means like the Swedish Chef in the Muppets, where he's like, hurt, heat, skeet. You know, and there's like stuff like flying across. And I can hear it landing and dropping. I'm like, what the fuck do these people think is involved when you're cooking? Like, it's great to see a plume of flame, you know, when you add something combustible to the pan. But it's not like stuff flying around all the time. It's usually precise cuts, and we put this thing here and we put that thing there. That is my long rambling intro to, do you think it's important to be able to cook well?
Wow, dude, you cut me real deep with that one, because the answer is, I think it is important, but I cannot cook for shit, bro. And I know it's a glaring hole in my repertoire as a human being, and I need to sort it out. And I'm hoping, like, when this travel stint is over, that I'll be able to commence my study of culinary jiu-jitsu.
Cool.
I'm actually hoping to learn some from you, bro. I was very impressed with how good you are at cooking. In particular, I'm very impressed with how well you make healthy, nutritious meals taste good. Because anyone can make macaroni and cheese or French fries and whatever, like, taste good. But the way you do it with salads and, like, lean meats and things like that is really impressive. Really impressive. Impressive.
Thank you very much. That's a great compliment. You know, it seems like one of those things that every adult has the responsibility of being able to make food that tastes good. You know what I mean? I actually think it should go a step further. What I would like to start investigating is, what is it like to harvest your own food? You know, and then that entire process, the whole farm to table, or, you know, out in the wild hunting or catching fish. I just want to feel capable as a human being when it comes to sustenance and nourishing myself and the people that I love, you know? Like, I just think that is a very, very crucial survival skill, you know? And it just doesn't take much to be able to make things taste good. I know it seems like magic, but it's like, well, you have some fats and you have some decent
MSG.
Flavors. Yeah, you got some MSG in your gold. Some garlic seasoning. No, I mean, if you get good enough product and you care enough to get good enough product, then it's really hard to mess that up. I mean, you're halfway there. Like, you might be surprised that when you decide to get into your culinary jiu-jitsu, that my impression is you'll go, oh, well, that wasn't so hard at all. Like, I just need like fresh food? I can make stuff taste good? It's true, because the product is the star if you source it properly.
Yeah, I'm hoping that's the case, because it's sure as fuck not going to be me that's the star when I'm cooking anything. It ties into a thought that has been bouncing around my mind a lot lately. And we may have discussed something similar before, but don't you often wonder just how well-rounded and actualized you'd be if the education system that you came through included things like that. Now, I know there's home ec and things like that in certain syllabi, but man, if someone had in school, like if there'd been classes on how to manage your emotions or how to interpret data correctly, or there's so many things I feel that I would have absorbed and incorporated into my view of the world much more quickly, much more effectively at a young age. And I wish school had been the one to do it, because I know my parents didn't. And you know, I find myself as an adult, and maybe that's part of the fun of life, but I'm like, my education really, really, really began when I left school. And it's a cliched statement, but goddamn, man. Like, I have been scrambling to fill in the holes of knowledge that I feel required to be a healthy, successful, well-adjusted human being. What are your thoughts on that?
Did you go to formal university?
Yeah, I did.
Or did you just go straight to jiu-jitsu? You did? Yeah. 4 years?
Yeah, 4 years.
And your education started actually when you graduated from that.
Yeah, I mean, look, I definitely learned some interesting stuff in school and some interesting stuff in university, but as it relates to the quality of my experience, it had very little impact. Very little impact.
Yeah, I mean, I have a hard time recalling anything from high school, you know, and in college, I feel like the education was in broader terms from reading, you know. I skipped class a lot, and I would stay at home and just read and read and read and read, and that could be the class. Mostly it was like classic literature, but also a fair amount of nonfiction. When I was really interested in cannabis, I was, you know, studying that, and I spent a lot of time playing musical instrument, which I feel like developed my brain in a different way, you know. Man, the majority of the education was definitely happening outside of school, but I saw a recent indictment of the public school, the public education model. I think it was Prince EA, and it's something that's gone viral on YouTube. And he was just talking about how everything else has seen these incredible innovations. You know, what a horse and carriage looked like 100 years ago is now like a Tesla today. And that was one of the examples. And, you know, you called on like the old timey telephone, or you sent a telegraph, and now
telegraph,
we have,
yeah.
And now we have an iPhone 7. And he's like, then he showed a classroom from like 1856 and then a classroom from today.
Oh, fuck.
It's exactly the same. And you go,
yeah.
All right, well, with everything else changing, why hasn't the way that we learn and what we put emphasis on as really crucial ways to learn and subject matter, why hasn't that changed at all? And I think probably now with this, like my nephews, kids like that are 4 or 5 years old now, will probably be learning the way that you and I are discussing right now. I mean, if anyone shows a proclivity for anything, they're able to immediately find a Reddit forum on it or a YouTube tutorial. I mean, there's no reason not to completely go down whatever rabbit hole you want at a young age and keep doing it and start absorbing some really powerful stuff.
There's two quotes that come to mind that came to mind during what you just said, but they've also been these opposite ends of a spectrum of opinion that I constantly like shift between or shift along. And the first is by a science fiction writer called Robert Heinlein, and I think I've maybe referenced it on the show before, in which he says specialization is for insects. I've mentioned that before, yeah?
Yeah, well, that's at the bottom of the Go Polymath page, for sure.
Oh, that's cool. That's great to hear. But on the other end of the spectrum is a quote by someone who's influenced me a lot in my life, which is Tim Ferriss, and he says, "The world rewards specialists." And I'm wondering how you reconcile those two quotes in your own life and in your view of the education system.
Well, I will say that, wow, great, great question, man. In my own life, I don't think I have reconciled them yet. And to my great, great chagrin, in a lot of ways, I've tried to do so many things that, you know, I've certainly suffered in terms of like a straight career path or like a resume that goes, you know, you have now become the CEO of a company because you followed this one particular path and you were so specialized that you're the best. I just never really saw the value in that. And now I can see the value in it. I just don't think some people are built for that, man. I'm one of them. And I think that what I have learned is that it's important for me to do a lot of things, but only be focused on one at a time. Like, it's okay to be an aspiring polymath and to be an actor and a musician and a, you know, physique specialist and a painter and all these other things, but you just can't do them all at once. And you can jump from one to the other so long as you're able to give a serious amount of, you know, optimal cognitive function per day to the thing that you're trying to make some progress in. As far as education goes, you wouldn't have Renaissance men if people were designed to be specialists at one thing. I mean, you wouldn't have a Leonardo da Vinci. You know, these kind of individuals wouldn't exist because your path is to be an engineer, or your path is to be a physicist. You're not allowed to deviate because that's not good for, you know. Peter Drucker is one of these guys that I admire quite a bit with Managing Oneself and some of his other books. I mean, it's super powerful. He's like, oh, most people don't understand what they're really good at. And, you know, most people pursue their lives doing things that they aren't good at. You know, it goes beyond that. Not only are you not doing the one thing that you're good at, you're actually doing something you're not even that good at.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's true, but if I listened to Peter F. Drucker, I wouldn't have tried half the things that I've tried, man. And I am one of these people that, you know, I don't love failure. I don't think anyone does, but I'm certainly not afraid of it, you know, and I wouldn't let that get in the way of trying something, you know. And as far as my education goes, if I was ever interested in something, I just decided to get into it, start looking it up, do some research, spend some time on it. So it was never a deterrent to me, but I could have been a much better student. And I could have been a much better guitar player and a much better actor and a much better painter if I only pursued those specific paths. Does that make sense? Actor and a much better painter if I only pursued those specific paths.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, but you wouldn't have been.
Are you there?
You wouldn't
have, I think the connection just got. Oh, there you are.
You wouldn't have been a much better Thomas, I guess you could say. You know, if you.
Yeah.
I'm reading a book which, man, you've got to read this fucking book. You've got to read
the Musashi book?
Oh, dude. It is the next level, really.
Yeah, I can't wait.
It's one of those books that I'm reading it slowly because I don't want it to end. You know, I'm like, it's... And he devotes himself to the way, capital T, capital W. And he's seeking actualization or enlightenment through sword fighting. And... I'm at the section in the book where he's actually decided to leave sword fighting for a while and tend the land. He's found this like tract of land that's very wild and uncultivated, and he's given himself the task of learning how to become an agriculturalist because he feels that the experiences that he acquires during that process will actually make him a better swordsman.
Wow.
And when I read that, I was just like, wow, dude, it was...
That's incredible.
Yeah, dude, this book, I'm telling you, bro, this book is... It's power, bro. And I think that it's my current perspective that over-specialization does breed weakness. And if it doesn't breed weakness... It sure as fuck gonna breed boredom. And I think that for me, I have really started to notice that, I think Joe Rogan speaks of it a lot. He refers to one of Musashi's quotes, actually, which is, once you understand the way broadly, you can see it in all things, I think is the quote. And it's very true, dude. Like when you take anything to like a high level and you unlock a specific level of understanding or competence or mastery within that, and then you move into another field of study, and you do the same. There's a synergistic effect, and the one compounds the other. It's something I've noticed. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, well, have you noticed anything like that?
I don't know. I'd like to think that's the case. You know, it's very pretty to think that I'm operating a high level of, across all things because I've, you know, reached a certain level playing guitar or, you know, making my paintings or as a teacher and a coach. I hope so, man. I will say that there's freedom in being able to express yourself in a broad variety of ways, and that's impossible if you're a specialist. Well, not impossible. That's the wrong word. But again, if you only work as an engineer and you don't allow yourself to do jiu-jitsu, you don't allow yourself to learn an instrument or archery or whatever, I think that you only get to experience life through a very narrow band of emotion, you know, and your spectrum of the human experience stays like this. But if you learn to strum a few chords, now all of a sudden you can play a song, and that opens up the next level and the next level, and perhaps someday you'll be composing symphonies, you know, that are working in a multimedia virtual reality film that you've conceived. Mm-hmm. And so perhaps a similar analogy could be drawn for the engineer, but again, it will always remain in that. If I could only make songs, that'd be a good life, but it wouldn't be enough for me. I need to be able to make songs and meals and change bodies and ideas and my environment around me in a visual way and so many other things that I take interest in. What about you?
I feel similar, but I also understand that dilution of focus can... I think for me, it's one of the things I've been dealing with over the last year is dilution of focus. It's been the one thing that's hampered my progress in a few areas. And I'm working on that. I'm trying to solve that. Because I think it is quite difficult to gain depth in anything if you're doing multiple things simultaneously. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't do multiple things. I just think you should maybe compartmentalize them into different eras in your life or blocks of the year or something like that. I'm starting to wonder if that's maybe the way forward.
Yeah, well, I think ideally in a perfect world, you're spending a block of time in the place that you want to be in the environment where you can focus the most on the thing that you want to do. So I would love to spend 6 months, you know, per year in a different location where not only do I get to learn the language and soak up the culture, but I also get to work on whatever creative endeavor I'm, you know, have my focus on at the time and just that. But then there are other things that I think should be constant. So if you can play an instrument, you'll probably always do that, even if you're not actively trying to become a shreddier guitar player or, you know, work on a different bass line or writing symphonies. You always at least have that pleasure of expression, you know? And so I think that if you cut those things out or limit them because you're worried about diluting the focus, which I have done in the past, I've totally abandoned guitar and have, you know, months went by when I wouldn't play while I was working on my, I can't justify this time to play guitar, I'm working right now. You know, and it's so ridiculous because the amount of recharge that you get from that thing that you love, it's sort of like reconnecting with nature, like we've talked about before. Mm. It's far more powerful than any abstinence based focus could ever be.
I hear you. I'm doing a similar thing with what it's a great joy of mine, great passion of mine, but that I had mistakenly been convinced was a complete waste of time, which is playing video games. I got a little PlayStation Vita, the little portable game console, like mainly for flights.
Cool.
The reason I'd gone without video games for so long is because I'd stopped enjoying them because while I was playing them, in the back of my mind, I was thinking, you could be doing something so much more productive, right?
Right, exactly.
And someone helped me reframe that, and they were like, you know, yes, you could be doing something so much more productive, but how many things could you be doing that would be giving you more fun or enjoyment? And it just hit me. I was like, yeah, this is fucking fun and I enjoy doing it, and it takes my mind off my issues and my challenges for a while. And as you said, it does refresh me. So that's a very interesting, it's interesting to see how we both arrived at a similar perspective. Thank you for that, Thomas.
Yeah, man, likewise. And the last thing I want to say on the video games is I stopped for years because of the same exact thing. And then Grand Theft Auto 5 is all I cared about. And it came out, and so I bought a PlayStation, I bought Grand Theft Auto 5, and I played it that evening, and it was such sweet bliss, and I was like, I can't wait to get back into this vibe, man. And the next day, it was fucking stolen. It was burgled. The house was burgled, and that shit's gone. And I haven't played video games since, and I was like, oh, well, that's the universe telling me that I shouldn't be playing video games. Except that I saw that trailer for the new God of War that's going to happen in, like, Scandinavian times. And I was
dude, it looks insane, right?
Maybe this is my step back into that realm because it just looks beautiful. But, man, thank you for that great conversation. Now I'm going to look up video games for the rest of the night.
Always a pleasure. Guys, thank you for tuning into Digital Communion. It's I hope you guys have as much fun and enjoyment, or get as much enjoyment out of listening to the show as Thomas and I do. Doing it. If you do, please head on over to our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/digitalcommunion, and leave us a like. And you can check out our the epicenter of Digital Communion, which is the actual website, digitalcommunion.com. You can contact us directly in there. And finally, Thomas and I, we have other projects that run alongside Digital Communion. Thomas's is the 30-minute advantage, in which he shares a lot of his fitness, nutrition, and well-being wisdom. It's at www.30minuteadvantage.com, and mine is Jiu-Jitsu Brotherhood, where I share some insights on Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, and you can find that at www.jiu-jitsubrother.com. So please check those out. Until next time, Thomas.
We're all alone in this together.